Hey, y'all. I'm Allison Asarch from Nashville, Tennessee.
Hey, I'm Sean Fraser from the Ritzy Kids.
Hunters, this is Johnny from Rail Motor.
Hey, it's Shane from Blind Season.
Hey, it's Rob Stanier, and you can check out my music on all the streaming platforms.
Check out my latest music on all the streaming sites.
Check out my debut album on all streaming platforms.
Check out our new debut album.
Check us out on Spotify and Apple Music. And you're listening to our friends, Braggy and Curly.
My favorite bands from Australia.
My two favorite podcasts is Braggy and Curly.
Braggy and Curly.
On the
Unfiltered and Undiscovered podcast.
Hey there, everyone, and welcome back to the Unfiltered and Undiscovered podcast, episode 137. We're back after a three-week siesta. We've got Braggy, of course, from Adelaide. We've got Rossi from Sydney, who must be crowing with the Roosters win in Vegas. And, of course, we've got Soren and the Spirit Molecule from Sweet Talk. What a panel. What a night. How are we all?
Excellent.
Pretty good.
Fantastic. So good, mate. Good to be back. Thanks for having us.
And we're just talking a little bit off air because what we wanted to do is kick off 2024 with the three big tips that the three of us regular hosts had for 2024. We kicked off with Rossi's big tip, which was Sydney was going to become the epicenter of music again in Australia. And we all probably decided that it never really lost being the epicenter. So a tick for Rossi on his tip. My tip, Lizzie Jack and the Beanstalk, still one of the greatest bands coming out of Wollongong, and were going to become the indie darlings for Australia until they decided to get married and have some kids, and so they're having the year off fundamentally. So still doesn't stop them. So I don't think I've got my tip. And then
I think that's despite Curly offering them some words of encouragement.
Absolutely. Those words of encouragement get me into trouble, don't they? And then, of course, we had Braggy, who said that Sweet Talk would sweep the field in Tamworth this year. And he just loves you guys, so we had to get you back. And, of course, I found the article that backed up Rossi's tips, and I'll just read it out. It was one of the shows not to be missed. And if you haven't heard of Sweet Talk, the article, it's from ABC Double J. If you haven't heard of Sweet Talk yet, do yourself a favour and get around this six-piece band from the deep south of Melbourne. As discerning disciples of some of history's all-time southern blues, country, gospel, soul, and rock bands, Sweet Talk have paid their dues, stitching together a rich tapestry of vintage influences. Sounds like ChatGTP got a hold of ABC into something altogether their own.
Chat ABC.
So that was the Tamworth Hotel gig, 8 o'clock on Saturday the 27th. So looks like Braggy got his hot tip as well. So you boys have been busy.
Because if that's true, they're going to have to move to Sydney.
So how was it, boys? How was Tamworth? Well, tell us about that.
So good. Once again, third time round for us. So, yeah, it was really great. Good to see some familiar faces and always some new ones as well. I feel like the weather... Dave might disagree with me. I feel like the weather was maybe a little more forgiving this year, but maybe not.
Oh, no. God, no.
No? Yeah. Anyway,
no way. I thought the Friday night was the hottest I have ever been on a stage, and then the Saturday was hotter.
Okay.
The entire audience were in basketball singlets and shorts. I've never seen rock and rollers in shorts before.
Maybe I'm running cooler as I get older, I think.
I was at
Wyme Adelaide on Monday, and it was 40 degrees.
Yeah, it was 40 roughly in Tamworth when we were there.
Wow.
The whole time.
That's
bearable 40.
Yeah, that's putting the, if you got the Les Paul, that's bending that out, that's making that go out of tune. 40 degrees, I would reckon.
Funny you should say that. We did have difficulties. Yeah. So Gibson struggled through it. We had a couple of both Tamworth shows were a bit wonky, just in tuning, like we were great. And then we played Newcastle on the Sunday night. We kicked off our Charlie Crockett tour on the Sunday night in Newcastle, and that was brutal as well. It was actually almost difficult to stand inside the venue. It was that hot. So we actually watched most of it on the balcony outside at Bar on the Hill. Is it? Yeah, Newcastle
Uni.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Bar on the Hill, a very famous venue.
Yeah, great, so Charlie spent the whole first half of the set in a leather jacket, polyester shirt, cowboy boots, and jeans, and it looked like a tap had been turned on, and down his wrists they were just pouring. Finally, took the jacket off about an hour into the set, and he was just joking around, but he was just like spraying water, like sweat everywhere. Wow. You know, absolutely brutal. But he never takes the hat off, which I respect. He was a consummate professional getting through the show despite just dripping.
Got to be committed to the costuming.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Is he from down south in America? Is he from like the warmer places?
Texas.
Or is he?
Texas.
He should be okay with that. That heat. Maybe not quite.
Yeah.
I thought he handled it well.
Okay.
Yeah, he's just committed to the Stees, you know. But they're all Texans. San Benito and Dallas and Austin, I think they're based in now. But they're all from all over the place. They were talking about a 4-hour drive like it was nothing. I mean, 4-hour drive rehearsal, no big deal.
Oh, cool. Okay. And they're good guys, yeah?
Great bunch of fellas, yeah. Great crew in general. The whole operation they had was really an enlightening experience, sort of seeing how they operated that level for us. So a lot of fun, but we learned a lot at the end as well and came out a better band at the end of that whole run.
Sure.
Yeah.
They were so slick and everything moved so well with them. And we got along, hung out with the band a lot, the Blue Drifters. And at one stage towards the end of the run, we had a longer set at Corranburra at Cold Creek, which is outdoor little festival. And the drummer Mayo joined us for the whole set. He was going to come up and do a couple of songs on percussion with us. And then as we were setting up the rig just before we played, he's like, "Hey, I might just stay up here." I'm like, "Go for it." So 45 minutes, hardly heard the songs before. He just improvised along with us. And it was just fantastic. So we've already played, three shows in, we were playing with the band members, and it was really cool.
Awesome. It's really cool.
That's very cool. That just, that's one of the best things, isn't it? I mean, not that I would know that, you know what I mean? Yeah. Yep, for everyone to
you can find, it's not always like that. And I've found that it's the bands that are just tasting success and they're on the way up can kind of be the more difficult ones on the road to work with. But the ones that have been there a long time and they've paid their dues and they know what it's like to be where you are for a long time, they're always so great. And they were just so giving, and like lots of really long, deep conversations till late in the night about music and touring and
spirit molecules. And I can imagine
life at large.
Rossi shared so many stories, and we've talked to some of the old indie guys back from the 80s moving on, and you hear stories that support bands not even knowing or getting to know the main acts, and it was like an us and them thing, and the support band would go out there and try and blow them off stage just by being exceptional. It made them better artists, of course. Besides, the story that you've just shared is one that you would like to think would happen more and more often, where the bands hang out together, they feed off each other, and that generates, I would imagine, a much more positive experience. Rossi, have you got thoughts on that?
Look, I'd agree. I think it's more and more like that these days, because in the old days, there used to be like a bigger productions, there used to be lots of stuff, but now people are a lot more collaborative. They're sharing gear, they're smaller stages, you're in closer quarters, all that sort of stuff. And I think the guys are right. Yeah, like I'm finding that bands get along, much better than they used to anyway.
I think we talk about this a bit, actually. I think at the top of, like, if you want to be successful in the industry, these days, the margins are so tight. There's no room for dickheads up there. And there's no room for, like, not being professional. There's no room for just being a fuck up. you know,
yeah,
and like blowing a show because you're too pissed or whatever. Like you've got to get up there and perform, because if you don't do it, somebody else will, you know. And I think that's a big part of it. We're all working hard, and yeah, things have changed. It's like it feels like there's more of a no dickhead policy around the traps.
Yeah, well, I guess,
and that's even probably changed the last 15 years.
Yeah, I guess that you're not just sitting back and making money from your record anymore. You actually got to fucking go on tour. So you better have your shit together and be nice. Otherwise, you're not going to make that money.
Everyone gets to meet you at the merch table.
That's
promoters are there and stuff, right? And you know, you don't want to rub anybody the wrong way. And, you know, one of our sort of mottos is to be the nicest, most professional band going, you know? And that's a reflection of the people in the band, really. But, like, we kind of stick to that. And lo and behold, the band we just toured with, they were also like that. So there's something right going on there.
Got the right
democratization
model.
The social media stuff makes it easier that if you behave badly, it gets out very quickly.
Yes.
Sure does.
There was a show at Woi Woi, I recall, last year.
And I know the one you're talking about, Rossi, and didn't that blow up big time in a very, very short span?
I don't know if we know what you're talking about.
Yeah, what's this?
We'll tell you later.
Speaking to your point about blowing off, you know, blowing away the headlining act, the thing about Charlie's band is that wouldn't have been possible anyway, because their act is so good. Like, they were on the Bar on the Hill show. We were gobsmacked by how incredible the arrangement of the set was, the quality of the songwriting, the quality of the musicianship within the band. And when they're really locking, it's like they do some stuff that is just outrageous from an arrangement sense of point of view, and from like a groove point of view, really creative stuff. And like they just know they're really good, right? So we just played as well as we could, and that didn't. And that I feel like we both over the tour got like progressively better as the tour went on, because we were kind of feeding off each other a little bit.
Yeah, that happens. That's a great thing.
Definitely.
I love it when that happens. I love that. But like, I think you know that. Yeah, a lot of bands back a while ago. Thought that coming out here was almost a holiday because it's so far away and removed from the rest of the world that it didn't matter. But now, they bring their A game, and I like that. It makes me happy every time. I want to see.
You've always got to be on now.
Yeah.
And Charlie, he's hyper aware of like the position he's at, I think, because he's been working in so hard for so long, and he's just kind of made it work. So I feel like they really respect the position that they're in, because they've come from that hard grafting working musician background, that now they're in Australia. Like, how good is this? So they
that's
take it seriously.
Wild, isn't it?
And that really rubbed off on us, because we take it seriously too, you know. So it was kind of cool to see that the guys that are at the top end of town, they really take it seriously, and they, you know, they're doing all the right things.
I've been talking to people about a couple of different things, but one of them is that it's big from there to there. Yeah, it's not that far. It takes a long time, and the incremental rises on. But like I was talking to someone the other day, and they're a producer, and they were talking to a guy called Chris Thomas, and Chris Thomas is a famous producer. He did Never Mind the Bollocks, right?
Oh, yeah.
And he lives in Sydney for three. He played keyboards on some of the White Album and produced it when George Martin went on holidays, right?
Wow.
And this guy is in Sydney, and he's kind of, walking, breathing the same air as us. Like, kind of blows your mind that these people like the people that Charlie would have played with are people that we would have thought once were unattainable, right?
He shook Willie Nelson's hand. So yeah, we shook the hand of the man who shook Willie Nelson's hand.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm talking about.
That's our everyday day.
It's not that far away, is it, really, when you think about it? You know? Just a bit of luck going your way. You never know where you're going to end up.
Yeah. But have you shaken the hand of Chad Morgan?
Well, you'd have to enlighten us here, Curly.
Chad Morgan's been here for a long time, hasn't he? How long's
the Sheik from Scrubby Creek?
Yeah.
The Sheik from Scrubby.
We've lost Soren.
Yeah, we've lost him. But that's one. There's some Google for you. So after the show,
some homework. Certainly, I've got a list.
One of the most attractive men that was a big Australian country music success story, and
still playing against, nearly 90, I think.
Yeah, against
is he still alive? I thought he was dead.
No. I did a gig with him last year.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
He likes the ladies. That was the funniest thing. He likes the ladies.
Now, but speaking of big names, in a couple of weeks, well, I think it's 28th. It's the last week in weekend. I think you guys are going to the Byron Bay Blues Fest.
Hey.
I just checked out the lineup for that, and I mean, I know if I was you guys, I'd be keen to like Tedeschi Trucks Band.
Yeah, that's killer.
That'd be cool.
Killer.
Definitely number one on our list.
Definitely number one. Mm-hmm. Thought it would be Ben Harper.
Yeah.
And I saw Tom Jones.
Yeah.
Is that right? I'm all over that as well. I wouldn't
what
mind.
A voice. What a voice, man.
Yeah, that'd be
I mean, one of our biggest songwriting influences, probably, and guitar playing influences, melodic influences, Taj Mahal.
Yeah.
He used to play with Ry Cooder in Rising Suns. And actually, Taj and Ry just did an album last year, and Ry Cooder's massive for us as well. So Taj is going to be there. Ricky Lee Jones is another big songwriting influence.
And the
Allman Betts brothers,
Tedeschi brothers, yeah.
Did you say Allman Brothers?
Allman Betts family revival.
Let's do that. I want a bit of that.
Yeah, which is Dickie Betts's son Dwayne and Butch's son Derek. No, what is it, Dave?
I think it's Greg's
Devin?
Son.
Is Devin in there? Greg's son, Devin. Right. Yeah.
Greg Allman's son.
Allman.
Yeah.
It's crazy because the name is cool.
That's a bit confusing.
Is that Scher's son as well? Or is that the other Allman?
I have no idea.
He's Wayne Allman's question.
That's a good question, Braggy. Yeah.
I forgot about that piece of trivia.
Totally.
That's Wayne Allman.
Wow.
And, but Derek Trucks is related in there too, isn't he, somewhere?
Yeah,
I think he was the son of the drummer.
He's the drummer's son. Yeah.
Drummer's son. Yeah.
Uncle. Which is son. Uncle.
What a song.
All right.
That'll be smoking. I'd really like to see that, actually.
Oh, man. They're the best jam band on the planet, and they will be until they pull up stumps. There's no doubt about it. They do things. They're the best. And I'm actually on a wait list to try and get tickets for the show down in Melbourne. Which I keep missing him because they keep coming up and I miss him because everyone's trying to get tickets. But I'll go see him again here as well as
I've got a sneaking suspicion that there's going to be some form of a jam at this Blues Fest. And I think it's definitely our intention to try and get a part of that, isn't it, Dave?
Oh, for sure. Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, so you know, one of the big things about the Blues Fest, because we grew up going to those festivals, and it's the guests, people coming and sitting in on a set. So my uncle Dom Turner from the Backsliders, he's played with Derek Trucks in the past. I think that was in Adelaide somewhere. Derek and who knows who's going to jump up with them here. But we've got some plans in that area as too. We're going to have somebody pretty cool come and join us for a song both nights we play. So you know, that's all part of it. So seeing what collaborations occur is half the fun.
That's going to be awesome. And you guys are on Thursday and Friday, I thought I saw. Is that right?
Yeah.
Correct.
So you're going to have the rest of the weekend to hang out.
Yeah.
That's going to be awesome.
So we're going to stick around for Saturday for sure. And that's when Tedeschi Trucks is on and stuff. So, yeah, Saturday's just as a punter, really. You got to work with an all-access pass.
You got to keep on working the room all the time you're there, man.
That's right.
We got no trouble with that, to be honest.
Yeah, I didn't think so. You got to. It's the job.
There's six of us. Someone has an off night. There's five other people to sub in.
I only went there once. You know what else I really like was the rock quiz.
Yeah.
Because I'm in love with Julia Zemiro.
Yeah. Right. Okay. We met Brian from Rockwiz the other week.
Oh, Brian.
Yeah. He's funny. The first person at Riverboats to literally greet us as we arrived. And
yeah,
we hit it off. He's a fab, like a great guy, very knowledgeable, like a knowledgeable uncle. had some great conversations, and he worked the mic for us as an MC as well, hyped up the crowd. So it was great to hang out with him, actually.
That's cool.
Mate, you guys are really on fire at the moment. You've got some momentum happening. So when's the next lot of music going to come out, I guess, is the question. Mm-hmm. What are you doing off the back of all this work you've been doing?
We have we've got big plans, don't we, Dave? It's sort of... It's not exactly in chronological order at the moment, but we've got a plan, and I think the overarching idea is to get an album out next year. For this year, we've got a single coming out probably, what do you reckon, Dave, like 7 weeks, 8 weeks?
6 weeks, something like that. Yeah, we're literally just waiting on the master to return from LA. So,
expect that.
Tomorrow morning.
Cool. All right.
Yeah, well, that's Hot
That'll
Skillet
be
Love.
The blitz we,
can,
yeah.
we can announce here that it's called Hot
I Skillet think this Love. Is an exclusive, boys.
Oh, okay. Curly, write this down.
And just be careful when you're on the Golden Guitars red carpet.
This is how make sure you, because none of the other guests that were there said anything about us.
We'll have to shout you out. Yes.
Shout out to the boys on Unfiltered.
I consider that to be a done deal, fellas.
So what's it called, Dave? The song?
Hot Skillet Love. Hot Skillet Love.
Oh, Hot love Skillet it. Love. My God.
Yeah.
Which is a few degrees warmer than our last single, Warm Love.
Warm
you see,
love.
The love is getting hotter as we get better as a band. The next one's just going to be Inferno something or other.
Burning Love.
The old cover. So is there any doco in relation to either Tamworth, the support gig, or what you're doing at Blues Fest? Is there any more docos coming out?
We made another documentary about ourselves. Funnily enough.
I'm glad you asked about the documentary that no one ever asked for. Thank you. Someone finally asked about it. Because isn't there, though? There certainly is. We've got something.
So Hot Skillet Love was done in the last sessions that we did. Warm Love and a couple other songs, Pepperoni Prince, that'll come out sometime. So that cluster of songs, four songs, will release as an EP probably in the next 3 or 4 months. But we're going into a writing phase now to write towards the album. While there was an American, I can't even remember if this had happened last time we were on here, but there's an American songwriter that we've been fans of for many years named Robert Ellis. And he came out and he was touring. And we kind of reached out because we wanted to talk to him about possibly producing us sometime. And it just so happened that he was in town, that he was available on a day that we had off, and that he wanted to jump in the studio. And so we had like 5 days between playing in Sydney to going in the studio with him in Melbourne. So we flicked him a demo. We had pre-production meetings over went to his hotel the day before we recorded. Just took us through some lyric ideas and some arrangement ideas. And then we jumped in the studio with him on Monday, late December. And we tracked one of our songs, Crazy. And it just turned out so, so great. We're so happy with it. Because Soren and I have produced everything up to this point and engineered it and in many cases mixed it. So that's really stressful when you're also writing the songs and playing guitar. So it's not a particularly fun experience, especially for myself, who I'm often in the control room hitting record on a tape machine and running into the other room, picking up the guitar and trying to play. So it's like, it's really shitty. So we've hired engineers the last couple of recordings, which has been good and bad. And then having a producer though, that's where we're like, this is it, right? Mm. Like somebody who can have a bit of context. Like this song Crazy, we wrote 18 months ago, probably maybe 2 years ago, got it together and then toured it for 12 months. I mean, how do you look at something critically that you're so connected with that you've been playing the same way every night for 12 months? So Robert can come in and go, hey, I reckon you should try this cheeky chord here, or this line could be stronger to reinforce the narrative, you know? So that was really phenomenal. And then he actually played piano on it as well. So Craig played Wurlitzer, he played piano on it. We cut it all live, no click track, everyone in the same room. And what you're hearing on the record is essentially that live performance. Tani did maybe four vocal takes and Robert comped it. So it was super, super quick. We had it mixed within 7 days and mastered within 7 days. So that's actually something that we've recorded recently that probably won't come out until after we've finished the previous EP that we recorded.
I can't.
That song, that. Crazy. Yeah, that song, Crazy, we did make a documentary about.
It's a whole new level.
And he's an incredible, incredible musician. And we just hit it off with him. He understood what we were trying to do deeply. Because he's an encyclopedia of music. He's a phenomenal guitarist, phenomenal pianist, phenomenal drummer, crazy songwriter, you know, like just real genius level type stuff. So he kind of, it was a real match made in heaven. So we realized we found our guy. It was a total like pitch. Like we had no idea if it was going to work, and it did. So he's going to come back in December and produce the record that we're currently writing.
Oh man, that is such an asset. Wow.
But just that whole story, everything's just happening and it's all synchronicity. It's just amazing.
Ever since Braggy picked you to be his number one pick.
Well, to
be honest, we're taking every opportunity that's is thrown our way. Like that's one of our things. It's just like, let's do it. It's going to be hard to take the Monday off to organize all this stuff, but let's just do it. Because it's not like we don't arm and art, you know, we just.
That's what you got to do.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Totally.
It's fantastic. Yeah. Totally. What a great result. Great result.
All right. Hey, so guys, we didn't tell you this when you agreed to come on the podcast, but we now do a trivia segment. And seeing that we've had used the word trivia and then we use the word Brian Nankervis and Rock Quiz, I think it's a great time to bring it in. Yeah, so Braggy has been doing
I ran out of the trivia. Who am I, so now I do trivia.
Right.
Yeah.
And so what it is, what it'll be, Sweet Talk versus Curly and Rossi. All right.
Right, Dave, we've got this, mate.
Now it's just you got a pen, you probably need a piece of paper, a pen, or your phone. I don't know. Yeah. There's only four.
I'm ready, Braggy.
It's only four questions, but each question's worth 5 points, all right?
Okay.
Okay.
So it's gonna be out of 20. The first three of the four questions, there's like five parts to it each. That's why they're worth 5 points. The last question is just worth 5 points.
Okay. Nice. Are you ready, Rossi?
Are you ready?
Ready to crash and burn.
Yeah.
Okay. The first one is, this is who's missing from the three-piece, okay? I'm going to give you the two names. You got to have the third one, right? Okay. First one is Stuart Copeland, Gordon Sumner, and... Next one is Florence Ballard, Mary Wilson, and
as Braggy just takes a sip of his beer and leaves us in the lurch. Yeah.
Hey, footy
you enjoy this. You enjoy this.
I love this. You ready for the next one?
Sure. Yeah.
Dusty Hill, Frank Beard, and
How.
Rossi, I hope you're on fire, mate. I'm just putting question marks.
Rossi's an encyclopedia when it comes to this shit. He's hard to beat. Fourth one is Mitch Mitchell, Jimi Hendrix, and...
Yep.
Okay. Question mark.
And the... Sorry. I've got a question specifically for you, though, Curly. and the last one for this first lot is Bill Black, DJ Fontana, and
okay.
No. Sorry.
Can I say that I've been a stage guy for one of those?
Oh.
Who haven't you been stage guy for?
Except I'm not feeling confident here, guys.
Okay, next question, Curly.
I never do, Soren.
Curly, yeah. I made this question for you, Curly. It's all about the 80s.
All right.
Tony Curl, this is your specialty subject.
Ron Espino.
I'm going to give you five things that happened in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
Five major things happened in music and shows. You just got to put them in order of when they happened.
Okay. Okay.
Remember any of this happening?
Okay.
Okay. MTV launch. When MTV launched first. That's one. The next one is Live Aid. The next one is when CDs first outsold vinyl LPs. That happened in 1 year in the 80s first. The fourth one is the release of Thriller. And the last one is John Lennon being shot.
Oh, I know what year that was, at least.
I'm struggling with
this one. All right. I think I've got
that. That one. You got that? Okay. Now, this is my favorite section. This is cryptic band names. All right.
Is there a theme?
Starts off
so
easy.
So give him an example, Braggy. Use Sweet Talk as an example.
Sugar Conversation.
Yeah.
That'd be your cryptic name, okay. Maybe. That's just off the top of my head. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Nice freestyle there, Braggy.
Yeah. Okay, you ready for the first one? I love this one. Corridor and Porridge.
What was that?
Corridor and Porridge.
Mm-hmm.
Start with an easy one.
Yeah. Even I got that one.
Okay, next one is Noise Amongst the Flowers.
Oh. Yep.
It's a hard quiz. It's a hard quiz. It's no easy stuff.
Well, I like it. Keep
third
it coming.
One. Third one is Bubbly Chocolate Will.
Like Will, as in the name Will.
Yeah, Bubbly Chocolate Will. Next one is Repeating Male Rabbits.
Repeating Male
Rabbits.
What?
The last one, you're going to love them. The last one is Just Bought Online.
Just Bought Online.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, and then there's one more question, boys. And the last one.
Whoa.
What do these bands have in common?
Okay.
Hopefully you know all these bands. I'm sure you guys will. You guys are knowledgeable. The Monkees, Van Halen, the Foo Fighters, Talking Heads, and Bread. Remember them?
David Gates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what do they have in common?
What do they all have in common? The Monkees, Van Halen, Foo Fighters, Talking Heads, and Bread.
Wild guess on that.
Okay. Ready? All right.
Sweet Talk don't seem confident, Rossi. I hope you.
I feel like the questions in this were targeted towards a slightly older demographic.
Yes. No.
Thank you. So, depending on your honor day.
The questions in this were made up by someone from a slightly older demographic.
Yeah. But someone who knows no what nerd. Here. Yeah, what nerds you are in musical influence.
Yeah, these guys, If you don't know,
I don't think
you bloody
any
should.
Of these groups were active while we were conscious beings. But we do know music history, so let's find out.
Okay, Stuart Copeland, Gordon Sumner, and?
Andy Summers.
Well, Andy Summers, correct?
Boys.
Did you get that, boys? Rossi and Billy?
That's one the all. Only one I got.
One all.
I think me
Florence
too,
Ballard, Mary Wilson, and
Diana Ross.
Yes, the Supremes.
Okay.
It was an old one. I know it was old. That's before my time. Dusty Hill, Frank Beard, and
the Reverend
Billy Gibbons.
Guys. Billy Gibbons.
Yeah. DZ Top, baby.
Mitch Mitchell, Jimi Hendrix, and
Chaz Chandler.
Noel Redding.
Noel, yes.
Noel Redding's a bass player.
Yep. Soren's propping you up, Dave. Going well.
I'm getting way more than I thought I would.
Bill Black, DJ Fontana, and the guitarist in Elvis's backing band, Scotty Moore. Tough one. What's the score?
Yikes.
I got one.
Three for round one.
Four is pretty good.
I think that's great, yeah.
4-3. Okay. 80s timeline. This is how it happened. John Lennon was shot in 1980.
Yes.
MTV debuted in 81.
No. Damn, I'm out.
Thriller came out in 82. Live Aid was 85.
Yeah.
CDs first outsold things in 1988. I nearly put in there, when did, what year did Milli Vanilli get their Grammy taken off them?
Yeah.
That was 88, wasn't it?
It was 89, I think, or something like that.
89.
All right. Well, next one.
I just had to say
Braggy.
And Thriller around the wrong way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had one of them around the wrong way.
Okay.
Yeah, I just got the year for MTV wrong. Every other year was still on.
Okay. Well, just score yourselves.
Okay. So I'm going to give myself four.
Up at the end.
Yeah.
Okay. The cryptic band name.
I'll give myself 10.
Corridor and Porridge. Did you get it? Hall of Notes. Noise Amongst the Flowers.
Soundgarden.
Yes, very good.
Oh, fuck. Nice.
Bubbly Chocolate Will. Aerosmith.
That's
tough. Aerosmith. That's tough, Braggy.
Thank you. This one is a very 80s, I think, sort of kind of band. Maybe Rossi's.
Pet Shop Boys?
Repeating Male Rabbits. No. Echo and the Bunnymen. Echo and the Bunnymen.
Yeah.
And Just Bought Online. This is my favorite. Just Bought Online. A New Order.
Another one of my all-time favorite bands.
See, I'm trying to match up the words here, Braggy, like the amount of words sometimes. So little, off-putting there, but I appreciate it.
Now, did you get the last
6 months, we'll know the rules better.
Anyone get the last one?
I put that they've all been featured in The Simpsons.
No.
I suggested
that they all had a band member named David.
Correct. They all had a singer named David.
Wow.
5 points.
Dave's got the David question.
That's right.
Dave got the Dave question.
Did he produce that shit? All right.
So you had Davy Jones sang for the Monkees, David Lee Roth sang for Van Halen, Dave Grohl, David Byrne, and David Gates.
Wow.
Very good.
I think
that my guy's having a line, Soren.
You reckon?
I reckon,
we're batting pretty good here.
So, Rossi, I got 7. So, what did you get?
9. No good.
We got 6, 7, 8 plus 5. We got 13.
Oh.
Well done.
The guests win again. My God.
That was a good one.
Yeah, took Rossi down.
So Hot Skillet Love. Let's get back to Sweet Talk and the music. So Hot Skillet Love. I've just got to love that too. Once again, you're just stepping up the game, aren't you? You're stepping up the heat. and then EP and album. So much to look forward to. So after Bluesfest.
In the documentary.
We're writing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll write a doc. Well, actually, one of the things we're going to do is make more documentaries about ourselves. So. But very short ones for Instagram and TikTok and things. So we're going to do a lot of social media content stuff.
Yeah.
Little clips and little behind the scenes things. Kind of just need some time off the road to write and develop new material, like it's really hard to write when you're in traveling as much and playing as much as we have been over the last 12 months.
Yeah.
But we do, we'll hit the road again or start playing again in September. We've got some other kind of cool releases coming out around then, and play a bunch. And then we've actually just announced a European tour for December.
Where are you going?
Oh, wow.
At the moment, we've locked in. Well, we've got Spain, Belgium, Germany, and Netherlands pretty much 99% locked in at this stage, with hopefully maybe something in London or, yeah. So we'll definitely keep you posted.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's awesome. They're going to love you.
We're pumped.
They're going to – how did that come about? Just because do you have a fan base there at the moment or –
No, well, it's sort of, it's a funny story. We've been working with a grant writer recently, and he had a contact over in Europe that we sort of got talking about no more than, I would say, a month ago, Dave. And we got in contact with a guy from Teenage Head Music over in Europe, and we were able to put it together pretty quickly and put it together for between December 4th and December 22nd at this stage. So. Boom. We're going to Christmas. It's been a Christmas in Europe, hopefully, Dave.
What was that? Bit of snow, maybe.
That's just saying yes to everything, isn't it? It's just making shit
it
happen.
Sure is. I mean, yeah, that's it. Like, we figure, well, we could wait till, a warmer month next year, but that's 18 months away. Like, our big thing is 2024 feels like a real big building year, you know? Like, we're going to be writing for this album. We're building an album. We're building our team around us, you know, we've kind of really locked in our touring agency and our labels and things like that. So it's about building for 2025. And so we figure if we can get over to those markets and plant some seeds and get some of Europe moving, and then head back there next year, you know, it's a better opportunity for us. So I don't feel like we don't feel like we're operating on borrowed time, but like you mentioned the word momentum before, and we're pretty aware that we have it at the moment. And the thing about momentum is to keep it rolling, you just got to keep moving. You know, the second you stop running, you're dead. So yeah, we're just like, fuck it, let's just do it. And we love doing this, right? So like, why wouldn't we want to go to Europe in December and play a bunch of shows?
And so if the call comes, like, when you, like, the big tour comes, if they say, you know, how's it going to go? Are you guys just going to up stumps and do it? You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Yeah. Have you got no doubt. Jobs and things? You're just going to go, no, we're going. Are you going to jump? That's what's good.
We're ready for anything, I feel. Like, we're really in a position, particularly after the run that we've done at the first half of this year or the first quarter of this year. I really do feel like we're ready for anything. So, yeah, whatever comes our way, I think we're up for.
That's
so quite a few of us are in pretty unique positions with our work scenario as well, where we kind of work autonomously in, and we can work anywhere. So that's we great. Both work from home or often on the road as well. And Nick's the same, our drummer. So we can kind of, you know, if we had to split our time between two things, then we could do a lot of what we need to do on tour. Like, we do a lot of work on planes and
you can keep your foot in both camps,
yeah, until it's such a point that the tipping point is that we're actually making enough money to justify completely reducing whatever else we're doing on the side, you know. And that's the dream, that's the goal, and that's why we're pushing so hard and why we're saying yes to everything, because any missed opportunity could be the one that is the thing that breaks you, you know. So going for it.
Yeah, when things are falling into place, hey, you got to, you're right, boys. You just got to keep going with the downstream.
Hey.
Blues Fest is the big one. That's the start.
Blues Fest is going to be good because so many people are going to see you there, and so many other acts are going to see you there, aren't they? And people associated with those acts.
The people who get you will be there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're perfect for Blues Fest. Yeah.
It's our crowd. And we sort of grew up on the Gold Coast, so that's our festival as well. Like, so many of our formative years were spent literally watching acts at that festival. So it works on so many levels for us to be going back there. It's needless to say, it's a huge bucket list.
That's exciting, guys. It's so exciting. You deserve it.
You've played in front of a lot of new audiences over the last, you know, 6-7 months. So when do you know, what's that moment in time, I guess, during a gig that you know that they're getting you, that you can start to see that, you know, because when we go see a new band, there's someone new on stage, you're partly interested and partly not, and you might have a couple of beers in your hand while you're waiting for the main act. But what's that moment that you know that, hey, these guys are starting, they're getting into us? Is there a moment in your set where you feel that sort of happens?
It's different for every show, I think you'd agree, Dave. Yeah. But it's often like it's unquantifiable as far as a moment, I'd say, but you can feel it. We all feel it. When they start getting it, that energizes us, and then you're in that cycle of energizing each other, and the show becomes just so much better for it. But yeah, it's different to every show, to every venue, I'd say. So there's no particular song or moment in the set.
Yeah, that's right. And like the Charlie Crockett stuff, we did six songs. We did like 30 minutes, except one of the shows we played for 45. We'd never done that before. So that was quite an interesting experience for us, because we had to kind of squeeze in some kind of set arc in six songs. But we also had to do enough to be ourselves and be authentic, but also capture as many people as we could as they were walking into venues. So that was really interesting, because a lot of the time for an opening band, you might see people walk in, go to the bar and kind of start chatting. But for us, it was people were just walking in and walking towards the stage and watching, and they watched the whole set. And a lot of people would come up to us afterwards saying, we wished we'd known you guys were playing, or who you were even, because we came and we saw your last two songs or whatever. So that was a different experience than, say, Tamworth, where we got an hour and a half or an hour to really warm up and get the crowd into it. But the best shows for us, for sure, are the ones where the crowd's dancing. If they're up, right up, pushed against the stage and dancing, and we can really connect and really feel that audience, that's when it's like we just go to a whole other level. So one of the best shows we played in the last 12 months was Riverboats. That was 3 weeks ago, maybe. And I don't know how long the show was. It might have been 6 weeks ago. But it was one where we saw Brian Nankervis at, and it was our crowd, you know, slightly, it was eclectic. Lots of young people, lots of older people too, and lots of kind of middle people. But it was just like a roots kind of community, roots-based stuff. And we just, like, at first people were a bit trepidatious, like, who is this act? And within two or three songs, we've kind of had everyone moving. And it was just, it was massive. It was a phenomenal show. And at one stage, Tani, we saw Casey Chambers off to the side of the show, off to the side of the stage watching us, and we'd never met her before, and we were like, holy shit, big fans, massive fans of Casey's. And
at one stage, Tani
jokingly said, yeah, like mid-set being starstruck, and Tani goes, oh, get Casey out here as a joke. And our tour manager Danny, he ran backstage, he'd been talking to her, and said, oh, the guys want you up on stage. And she didn't bat an eyelid, she got straight up and walked down stage. So the first time we'd said anything to her was when she walked out mid-song to join us to play the rest of the song and improvise the rest of the song
without Tani. Yeah, all the hug at the front. Like, that was honestly the first moment we met Casey was on stage.
Jeez.
Shit.
And we jammed.
We jammed with this song because we knew we had 10 minutes left of the set. We only had 5 minutes planned. So we
just jammed.
Fantastic. We milked
it. Yeah.
Intense.
When you tour with Charlie, like, he's kind of more, he's different to you guys, obviously. Mm. So, but have you been influenced as songwriters from his style of stuff? Or
you must definitely, I'd say.
I'd say so.
Definitely from him and from the people that he's influenced by as well, which if we're talking George Jones and harking back sort of an older era. But I think Charlie himself was so impressive in so many ways. His obvious craft, his songwriting, was an eye-opener for us and something that we will aspire to. His stage craft, that was a huge thing I think we took away. But particularly Charlie, just his command of what he's doing, his command of the audience, the fact that he feels bigger than just a human, like he's bigger than, you know, and it's been a while since I think I've seen that, you know. So, he's something else, and we all learned a lot from him and the band, obviously, who are just amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that there's a lot of variety in what he does. And you might have heard the country based songs, but he does a lot of soul stuff. And they do some even slightly funk stuff. They do a lot of deep sort of southern blues as well. So over the course of an hour and a half, there's a lot of different genre tipping the hats to. There's jam out sections. Cullen, so they toured a piano, an upright piano, and a Wurlitzer, and a Hammond B3 organ with a Leslie speaker. And by the end
of on the hill, they had the Leslie cab out on the deck. You know, they're miking it up out on the deck, running the cables through to the stage. Huge, awesome operation. Wurlitzer,
piano, Hammond
I've
B3.
I've got PTSD.
The back's tweaking. I mean, he played trumpet. So there was just so much going on that was so wonderful as music fans. Like, these guys are music fans. Charlie is a music fan, and all of his band is a music fan. From a songwriter's perspective, his word economy was really interesting to me. Like, he has a real ability to get, like, almost like a Hemingway, in a Hemingway way, where it's like, cut the fat, get just the essential information in each line. And on first listening, you might miss something, right? But because the word economy seems so simple, you're like, oh, yeah, that's just a simple song, I guess. You go back and listen to it a few more times and you realize there's a much deeper kind of structure to it. That was really impressive. Yeah. Jackson Browne's similar to that, you know? Like, there's no fat words. There's no extra words that don't need to be there to get the point across, you know?
Yeah. Leonard Cohen used to just torture himself over words for days and days and days.
Editing, right?
Yeah, just to cut out. Don't need that word. Use that one, yeah.
I can't get past
what's a more efficient way of saying this, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like I think that's evident in Charlie's writing. I think, Time of the Cottonwood Tree is a good example. $10 Cowboy is a really good example. Really, really clever songwriting. Where at first you're like, this guy's calling himself a $10 Cowboy. What the hell is this? But he's not at all. He's comparing himself as a songwriter to the brutal nature of getting on a bucking bull and getting thrown off all the time.
Mm.
And the fact that we're both out here just scraping out to make a living. And there's similarities between a $10 cowboy and what it is that I do, you know?
Yeah.
I love it. I love
really
it.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's so cool. And there's so much to like about Sweet Talk. I was watching a number of your YouTube clips, and just the fact before you start to play, you all sort of take that deep breath and calm the minds. And then you just don't see that in other bands. You just don't see that connection, that collective spirit. And I just love the fact that shit's happening and you're just saying yes to it. And it looks like Braggy's on the money, mate.
Are you saying that the turnbuckles don't?
Here we go. Shake it out. Big breath in. Big breath out.
guys.
I've heard that they go in the dressing room and they pick their manager up and drop him and give him an atomic drop.
We don't know the turnbuckles.
You are lucky.
They're playing in the tote later in the year.
Yeah,
okay. Now we have some pre-show rituals that we do that get us connected as well. Like we've got a kind of like a chant thing that we do every single show. And I think Soren, you a friend of yours was at the Brisbane show and he said something about that connection. And you just don't see bands anymore, like bands that
are
committed to being in that band. We have peers here that are in 10 different bands. You know, and they play every night of the week in 10 different bands. And that just would never work for us because what we're trying to do is create something really unique and something that has a real clear identity that stands on its own 2 feet, you know. And to do that, you have to develop that brotherhood. Like all of us are committed to this band and we spend all of our time writing or working on music towards this one outcome. Like going all in, you know.
So do it properly is a lot of work.
Yeah,
it takes everything,
and like there's a lot of detail that that people are like working across different bands. There's a lot of detail they're missing. There really is. There's a lot of detail work. It's just so hard. There's so much.
Just makes you guys more real, and that comes across.
Mm.
That's appreciated to hear, Braggy, because that is we feel that too, and that's sort of why we're doing it and why we keep it this way, rather than you know.
I feel like this is serious.
But there's that seriousness, but it's also that good-natured banter stuff and not taking yourself too serious. So, but
yeah, when we don't take ourselves seriously.
But when it comes to the music, deadly serious. And
if there's a band traveling around the country in a van, gallows humor rears its ugly head.
Exactly. And like you look at like you know the all the music we love from the 70s and stuff that had its tongue firmly planted in its cheek, you know. Like Kuta stuff, the Little Feat covers, I mean even the Stones, like Sticky Fingers, that cover, that's all funny. And it's like it's not rock and roll shouldn't be serious. God, it's the death of it if it is. I mean heavy metal, this is what's so good about metal. Heavy metal is fully aware of what it is. It realizes that it's extreme theater. Yeah, and it's absurd, the theater of the absurd. But in that, like, have you ever been to a more fun, like forgiving crowd than a heavy metal crowd? Like, they're the nicest people on the planet because they get this incredible aggressive theater. You know,
they're a community, right? They're all there because the only way they can find music that they like is by looking for it. And when they find it, they're all like-minded. The metal crowds look scary, but they are exactly what you say, you know?
Yeah, they're the best. Yeah. The worst crowds are not shoegaze, but like hipster indie crowds. That's the stuff where it's like you bump into someone and they give you a real greasy look, you know? But you bump into someone in a metal crowd, they're like, but we have that.
Some jazz crowds are the same as that.
Yeah, they take the art too seriously, and they forget that it's, you know, a lot of this stuff needs to be tongue in cheek. I mean, the human condition, like if you want to be authentic, like we are actually just kind of fairly relaxed, joking. Or we joke around all the time. We fuck around, and that's got to come across in the music. Like we're not sad boys staring at our shoes, crying into our milk. You know,
that's part of the authenticity. You know, this is us through the music.
Yeah. I was at a metal show in Dallas and stood there and there was this guy behind us. He goes, you're in the way. I turned around and said, oh, sorry, mate. When he realized we're Australian, he was all over us, right? Then, not long after that, I realized I was in a bar full of people who were carrying. It's like,
Okay. Yeah, but, let's not get on the wrong side. I had the pleasure, Dave and Soren, while I was away, that there's an up and coming band called Rail Motor that gave me a bit of a preview of their next release, and they may give you a bit of a run for your money in the southern blues sort of rocky sort of.
What are they called, Curly? Rail Motor.
Yeah, and. That's Braggy.
And I hunt them down.
Yeah, hunt them down. So Braggy's got a...
Yeah.
And Braggy, I do have to say that any rail motor is an amazing addition to rail motor. So
she's part of the family. She goes all right. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So I'd love to check it out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, if you want.
Braggy gets very sure. Braggy gets very subtle about his music. That's all, Soren. So
I'm happy with this one. Wait till this one comes out, Soren. Don't. Yeah, I'm happy with this one.
All right. Yeah.
I've got someone making a film clip at the moment, huh?
What's it called and when's it out?
I think we're going to call it 11 because it's just a good number.
All right. I see. I've just clocked what's going on here.
We're all 11ists.
Gotcha.
So I think I'm going to call it 11 and putting 12 songs on there.
And Braggy, I bet you didn't think of doing a documentary while you're up in Agnes Waters recording it.
No. But I've got two of Ruby's. Well, two of my daughter's friends making the clip for the first single. And they're going to make it at their house party. And they live in a share house. And it's like they got one of every letter, like LGBTQ. They got one of every letter in it. So it's going to be killer film clip, I reckon. And they're all artists. So anyway, can't wait to see what they do.
Yeah, this is the world we live in. You know, you got to make visual content to go with it. You know?
Yeah.
It's, part of the game. So we're just trying to figure out how to do that more regularly, more efficiently.
30 seconds for Instagram, a minute for TikTok.
Necessary evil.
Hungry beasts.
Hey, I just talk about footy before we go? Are we going soon?
I was just about to wind up, so talk about footy.
I just thought it was funny how you and our old blokes, you spent all that money, went to Vegas and got 42,000, and then the AFL just played Sydney versus Melbourne in Sydney and got more people.
Well, it was interesting. When we flew out to Japan, there was all the charter flights going to Vegas. And the airport was just overrun with them. So out of that 42,000 in the stadium, I reckon 30,000 would have either been Aussies or commies that have flown over for the game.
But I will point out that if you want to go and see the AFL, you don't have to leave the country.
No.
Ever.
Ever.
Before we go, boys, we are not actually finished spruiking our wares.
Okay, spruik
quick
away.
Second, we've actually got a single coming out this Friday with a guy called Andy Gollidge. I'm not sure if you guys
know Andy Gollidge.
We've done a track with Andy. We actually did some backing vocals on a song that's coming out. I think it might be called Me and My Loving Myself. Loving Myself, yeah. So this Friday, check it out. It's going to be really cool. It's a really cool song. We love Andy. You should have him on if you haven't already.
Well done.
My mind at ease and get a little rest. Though I cried today, I found a little place in the corner of a southbound carry. South Coast line sinking, sunset blind, I'm singing. Maybe this will be the start of my love. Me and my loving myself. Oh, me and my loving myself. I thought I'd try today, I only woke to say my body hurts. And though I left today, I need a little space in the corner of a beachside cottage. South Coast line sinking, sunset blind, I'm singing. Maybe this will be the start of my love. Me and my love and myself.
Okay.
Yeah. So as you were.
do we look that up under Andy or do we look that under?
Yeah, you can pre-save it on Spotify. That's always a huge help for artists. So
double L E D G E.
Yes.
Too easy. Yeah. I'll make sure it's in the show notes, boys. So
you'll love it, fellas. You'll love it.
Okay. Do it. We maybe it might be. Able, it's, it comes out on Friday, Curly. You might be able to whack it in the show.
Yeah. Yeah. If
the show comes out on Friday.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, I might to put back and release on Saturday, maybe, just to make sure I get it in there. Yeah, it sounds good. Yeah. Guys, what a great chat. We just love having you guys on the show. One of the things that happened after we finished recording last time and Braggy had to go to eat his dinner and you guys said the fatal words. What were they, Rossi? That Braggy knows his shit came out of your mouth. Funny. And we were telling Braggy that the very next week that, Sweet Talk gave you a bit of a compliment, mate, but, you know, you didn't hang around, so you can't hear it.
So. Man's got to eat.
A man's got to eat.
Absolutely.
It's always good to hear the banter between people that know their shit. Well, so
I probably should just make another prediction because, you know, I made the last one. Look how far we've come. So,
yeah.
You know, well, I'll just say maybe guys go to Europe and then get picked up by a label.
And you could cut that. And
drop I like that. Out. You got to put it out there.
You got to say it. Otherwise,
you do. You know,
and then I can talk myself.
We talk about this. We talk about this all the time. We manifest reality. Like we sat around at a festival recently, sitting in a circle. I'm like, manifest reality, boys. And it's like that's like that's how you do it. You visualize the Schwarzenegger thing. Visualize, see yourself there, and then find a way to get there.
Start manifesting better catering in Europe.
What?
Yes.
Better catering in general would be good for us.
Yeah.
Better catering in general would be good for us. Absolutely. Yeah. A bottle of water or two wouldn't hurt occasionally. I can't believe it. Alcohol is so easy.
It's so funny. We must have a reputation because our rider is just beer and tequila. And water would be nice if anyone's listening.
We never have any. Ever.
It's something about the music, I guess. They assume it's just beer and whiskey.
Music includes whiskey and tequila. Definitely.
Yeah. 90% of our songs are about drinking, probably, so that doesn't help, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, next week, guys, fantastic having you here. Next week's show, we have a gentleman called Link Phelps joining us, and he is an up-and-coming country music artist, and we're also being joined by Big Stu, the country music correspondent, because he knows Link, and it should be a good show. So that's our next week's show, but this one's been fantastic. If you've enjoyed the episode, you know what to do. Like, subscribe, leave a review. It all helps. We're on YouTube, Facebook, TikTok. All of Sweet Talk's links will be in the show notes, so please check them out. These guys are just authentic and awesome. And lyrics from the playlist this week, and it's from guess who? Lizzie Jack and the Beanstalks. It's from that great song that I love, Before I Go. And it's really apt at the moment with the Sweet Talk boys heading to Europe. So the lyric is, time for me to hit the road, so take a picture of us all before you go. That's it. That's Curly. Beautiful. That's Rossi, Braggy, Soren, and the Spirit Molecule from Sweet Talk. Thanks, guys, for joining us tonight, and we'll see everyone else next week. Thanks.
See you later on.
Love it, guys. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Did anybody bring sunscreen? It's getting way too hot. Did you wanna go swimming? I saw a pretty good spot on the way to the campsite. I'm sorry I got lost. I should've turned right at the blue sign across the road from the shops. Did anybody bring a charger? My phone's nearly dead. And have you seen my sunglasses? I think they're in the tent. And this drink is way too strong. It's going straight to my head. I should have known you always hold with a heavy hand. I don't want to go home, but I gotta work tomorrow. Time for me to hit the road, take a picture of the sun.